T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
People don't want their votes to be taken away from them, and they realize that this impeachment inquiry is a sham process.
He's not going to let these witnesses come in to defend the president. He's going to continue to try to control everything, and that's the major problem with the process here. It's not a fair process. It's not due process. It's Adam Schiff's process.
Boy, that's the truth, and what a Schiff show it's going to be today in Washington, D.C. Glad you're with us, and welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I hope you're staying warm out there. That was absolutely the worst thing about getting in the car this morning.
Oh, so cold.
And I have the seat heaters that you can put on, but it always takes too long.
Your seat heaters take long?
Oh, it takes a while.
Oh, see, my seat heaters are like right away. Really? It takes the rest of the car a little bit longer to catch up.
maybe mine have malfunctioned.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, don't you think? I thought you only needed that if you're afraid somebody was going to blow your car up. Why do you get auto start?
To warm the
car
up.
Warms it up before you get out there. It's beautiful.
I'm just kidding.
And you have to have the new auto start because some auto starts are illegal. You can't leave your car on. You can't leave the keys on and then go back inside. That's illegal because...
Well, no, but you just auto start it from inside.
Right, not everywhere.
Because you're creating an attractive nuisance. But if you start the car from inside, there's no way to steal... Well, there is a way, but there's no way to steal the car.
You live in a neighborhood where somebody might steal your car. It's illegal to turn it on and leave it running.
It's an attractive nuisance. It's your fault.
Yeah. Well, it's your fault if you leave your car unlocked and somebody steals everything. I get it. All right. Carl Middleman in with us this week. Tricia is enjoying vacation week. So we wished her happy birthday yesterday.
Yep.
Birth week.
She's sleeping in this morning. We hope.
Today's anyway. The after birthday.
The after birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Carl. I didn't get that till the words came out of my mouth.
All right.
That's a shame.
You're I'm going to agree with that. Oh. Thanks, Carl.
Listen to President Trump from yesterday. Go to cut number 6, please.
I can do that.
But everything that we've achieved is under threat from the left-wing ideology that demands absolute conformity, relentless regulation, and a top-down control of the entire U.S. economy.
Yeah.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Hey, Genevieve Wood joining us this morning from the Heritage Foundation, and of course with the DailySignal.com there at Heritage. How are you?
Good. Happy impeachment week, and happy birthday, belated birthday to Trish. I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, hopefully she's sleeping in and not hearing us this morning. We hope.
Hopefully she's able to tune out.
Very true. You know, I'm watching this preparation for what's going to happen today. I was just sitting there watching the top of the hour network news on, I think it was CBS this morning, talking about what an important day, a historic day it is in Washington, D.C., where for the first time in over 20-some years, the House will launch into impeachment hearings. And I'm thinking to myself, historic? It's historic because one party is persecuting the sitting president of the other party. I don't know what's historic about that. I fail to grasp that.
Yeah.
Genevieve.
No, Mark, you're right. I mean, sadly, it's not historic. I mean that very seriously. I mean, I think we're going to probably see today something that we're going to see now, unfortunately, repeated, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. I hope I'm wrong. But this has become such political theater. And look, impeachment is a political process. You're always going to have a little bit of that, of course. But this has become so political. I mean, one party against the other. Forget a fair trial. Forget what the facts are. This is straight up politics. And unfortunately, I think it's going to really hurt our political scene even further. I mean, we're already headed down the wrong path. But this is, I think, just going to further the direction that we're sadly headed.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that completely. You know, I went back in preparation for today's show as part of my extensive show prep for today. And I reread the transcript because, you know, I appreciated the shirts behind the president the other day at his rally that said, read the transcript. And I went back over it again. And, you know, something I think has kind of been overlooked here is the discussion with President Zelensky about the U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine. And Zelensky brings up her name first. He brought up the fact that he was concerned about this ambassador, that she didn't seem to like him, that she supported his predecessor. I mean, first of all, I'm not sure that's proper. But the thing about it is, she's going to be one of the witnesses that the Democrats call, and they're not letting a single Republican witness take the stand.
No, that's right. I mean, the only way that Republicans are going to be able to have, you know, try to get their side of it out is in the cross-examination of the witnesses that they have no control over who comes in. So, again, it's not a fair process. But nonetheless, look, I think the facts are the facts. But, you know, as with many things, it's all how you interpret them. And the Democrats have interpreted them one way. They're not going to move off of that. Republicans are interpreting them another way. What's going to matter is how the American people interpret it. And what's going to matter is how the American people actually do they watch this. And I would say, you know, I think the Democrats have done themselves a disservice in the fact it's been nonstop investigations since Donald Trump was elected. And as we know, actually, before he got elected, there were plans to do investigations in case he got elected. So the public is seeing that these are show trials that they're not going to be new. They're not going to be historic because they've been going on constantly. How much the public's going to turn into this, we're all going to see. But I have a feeling unless there's some big revelation that people don't know, and they're going to whimper out quite like the Mueller investigation.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. You know, it's. I think the other thing that was overlooked in this transcript is this phone call took place on July 25th, about a day after the Mueller report, the flop that it was, came out, and the president even refers to that in this phone call. And here we are again. So the day after the Mueller report failed to get them the impeachment proceeding they were hoping for, lo and behold, another strategy was born in the mind of this whistleblower who, whether you agree with the fact that several sources have reported that it's this Eric Ciramella guy, whether it's him or not, whoever it was had links to, you know, one of the leading Democratic candidates. Was well known in Washington circles as having a political opinion, was an Obama appointee. There are pictures of this guy in the background at several of photos for the Obama administration. This is a problem, and I don't know how to get around it.
Well, and this is the reason they don't want the name out there. This is the reason they don't want the photos out there, because of all the reasons that you just said. I mean, look, just because somebody is a member of a certain political party doesn't mean that they can't be unbiased. It doesn't mean that they can't, you know, tell the truth in a case. But, you know, it does put doubt in the mind of many in the public, you know, when they know, okay, well, you have a long history of supporting this particular party, a long history of making these types of statements about the current resident of the White House. And so, therefore, when you come forward, yeah, it's a little bit more questionable than if just somebody else came forward who doesn't have that whole history. But again, that's why they don't want the whistleblower's name out there. It isn't because they're worried about their job. It's because they know in the minds of many that witness will not be near as credible as they would like to make them out to be.
Yeah, very true. And I'll just direct people to the website there, thedailysignal.com, dailysignal.com, not the Daily Signal. And there's a great article on there, four things to expect as these Trump impeachment inquiries go public. First of all, and I'll just add this one, it talks about who's testifying. Bill Taylor is going to testify today. He's one of the ones that's going to be called up there. Nothing you're going to hear is new because he testified behind closed doors and specific parts of his testimony were conveniently leaked to try to do the most public relations damage possible. So just people can go to dailysignal.com if they want to read that article, get a little more in-depth on what you can expect today. We're going to carry it live, Genevieve. And I was a little torn about that. I mean, I think people need to hear it. I'm not anxious to hear what they have to say because I know they're being called with the
Because you've read the transcript.
Right, because I've read the transcript. I know they're being called to inflict maximum damage on Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, everything they're going to say is going to be hedged by, I believe, my assumption
was. That's right. they're all there. And that's where I think, again, you can leak out certain select statements and those types. And when those words get left out or it's just one phrase, it can sound much more damaging. But when a witness is, first of all, not just in a closed door hearing, but they're in front of the cameras and they not only get to make their statement, but then you're going to be cross-examined. That's when, you know, and keep in mind, this is, you know, a quasi trial. And as we know, most people, it's like you're not guilty. You know, you've got to have beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think it's going to be very difficult for them to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that something went down here that was a high crime and misdemeanor.
CNN.
So I just think they're going to have a very hard time doing it. But it won't matter, Mark, as you know, because they're going to take a vote. And probably with the exception of a few Democrats and a few red states or districts where Trump did well in the Northeast or Wisconsin, they're all going to vote that way. I think most Republicans are, I don't even know if there's going to be one, maybe Justin Amash, who's no longer Republican, will vote against it. And it'll go to the Senate and it'll die. I mean, that's, you know, this is a political show. And sadly, you've got two parties who can't see any part of the world the same way anymore.
No,
including
true.
This way.
Genevieve Wood, my guest from the Heritage Foundation, and yeah, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that's exactly it's a predetermined conclusion that they'll call these eight witnesses, they'll all have their talking points, and then they're going to call for a vote when this is over at the end of next week. They want to get this done before Christmas, apparently.
That's right. And it's like, look, it's like any good lawyer, right? You know, you have your list of witnesses you want to call. It's going to make your case. But it's really convenient when you get to tell the other side who they can and can't call in. I mean, can you imagine any court trial like that? That's why this is going to be, you know, a show trial. But there will definitely be a surprise somewhere. I don't know when it's going to happen, today, Friday, I don't know where, but there'll be something.
Yeah. Joe Concha had my favorite comment on this yet. Go to cut 18, Carl, please.
They all know what this is going to be, a partisan circus. It's going to be the Seinfeld of impeachments, a show about nothing, sound and fury signifying nothing.
It's going to be a show about nothing, just like Seinfeld. So that's good. That's
yeah,
perfect.
Well, it's been sound and fury since 2016. I mean, Washington is sound and fury. It's our, you know, city logo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slogan,
that's
I should say.
Slogan. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. did you see any of the, well, I'm sure you did, in Washington, the blow up over this DACA hearing at the Supreme Court? People,
I saw some of it, yeah.
People protesting in the streets. They're mad because it sounded too much like the conservative majority in the Senate or in the Supreme Court is siding with the president on this. How can he do that? Again, we have an academic discussion going on here that has absolutely been lost in the politics of it. One president did something with executive order and without approval of Congress, and his predecessor came in and ended it. That's as clear as the nose on my face.
We'd like to go out and say to the protesters is, look, if Congress had passed this law, you wouldn't have this case before the Supreme Court.
Right.
You want this to go away? Then turn around from the Supreme Court, walk right across the other side of the street where the Capitol building is. They look right at each other and go in there and talk to your members of Congress. I mean, that's the reason that we're in the mess that we're in. And it's frankly, I mean, I think it's terrible, Mark, that you have many of these families and kids who have been here illegally, and they are caught in the middle of all this. But, you know, the reality is we're in this situation because Congress has refused to take up this issue. They refused to do it. I'll blame both parties. The Democrats didn't do anything about it when Barack Obama came into office, and he had a Democratic Congress. He had control. They could have done something about it. He said he was going to do something about it. They did nothing. Donald Trump gets elected. Republicans have Congress. They couldn't get anything done and get it through. I don't blame actually the president on that. I blame the Republicans in the House on that. But the reality is both parties have had a chance when they've had complete control of the White House and Congress to take up this issue. They both have been scared to do it. And so that's why you have people, you know, protesting outside the Supreme Court. The frustration is real, but I blame it on members of Congress.
Right. And to hear Nancy Pelosi come out publicly yesterday and address the group that was outside of the court and tell them.
Please. She was Speaker of the House. She had control along with the Senate and Barack Obama, and they did nothing about this.
Yeah, listen to her. Listen to cut number 11, please.
Now, here we are on this day that should be a very hopeful one for our country.
where the Supreme Court of the United States will make a decision to either cause pain or find a solution by upholding what we think is the right thing to do.
Nancy, that's not their
job. No.
But
she's supposed to find a solution. How long has she been in Congress? She doesn't know this. She is supposed to be the one. Congress is the part. They all need to reread the Constitution.
Yes.
You know, Congress makes the laws. Presidents don't get to make them up. They can do regulations and so forth, but they don't get to make the laws. They're just enforce the laws, and the Supreme Court is supposed to do that, but she doesn't get that part of it. Congress has been making laws on a whole host of things. Immigration is one of the biggest travesties, and again, I put that at the feet of both parties because they've both had a chance to get this right or to take it on, but they're both scared of it. It's become like scarier to them than dealing with Social Security in some ways. They absolutely refuse to take on anything that they think might mean they don't get elected next time around.
Yeah.
You know, they care more about their seats than they do what's good for their constituents, what's good for the country. It's a sad reality, but it's true, and you're seeing it play out in things like immigration.
It's so sad. It's really sad. And now I haven't been able to find the soundbite, but now we've got to really grapple with whether or not we need Hillary Clinton, because according to her yesterday on the BBC, she's got a lot. Many people are urging her to run again. The voices in her head are overwhelming her.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Just I saw her tweet about that, and I was like, "Is this for real? I mean, is this for real?" I don't know whether to wish for it or not. It's so sad.
Yeah, I think she heard those voices when she was wandering around in a field near her house in Chappaqua. It was like the Blair Witch Project or something. She was hearing voices.
It's probably Bill. It's probably Bill.
Please, honey, go run. You don't have to be here in the house all the time. I can hear him right now. Trying to get her out of the house.
Oh, we're being mean, but what a show! Yeah, I'm sure the many, many, many people are not the 16 or 17 or how many are currently running. So
they don't know what they're going to do, do they? They can't. They've got so many people that still want to get in the race because everybody's unhappy with the ones that are already in it. It's a weird situation.
It is a weird thing, but you know, this idea that things are always going to be that way they've always been, and somebody like Bloomberg can't jump in, you know, after the first three or four states, I think they're kidding themselves on that. I think he could blow past Iowa and other places and jump in on Super Tuesday and blow them out of the water. It's probably not going to happen.
Right.
But this idea that could, you must win Iowa first. This is, you know, the 2016, and frankly, things have been changing for a while. It doesn't always work that way.
Nope.
People should be careful to think, well, you know, as long as I've got this locked up, I don't know. I think it's far, very far from conclusive who's gonna take this thing.
Genevieve, we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Genevieve Wood, heritage.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.